This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 17, 2015. The Sunday After Ascension, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was going through the readings this week. I always try to find something that is obviously maybe lacking in our understanding of God and however it is presented to us or given our current state of affairs. And I was going through the readings this week, and the common thread is the judgment of Judas. I was like, you don't hear a whole lot. I don't get fire and brimstone-y a whole lot, but we're going to do it today. I was actually trying to nuance. I was like, how am I going to work this in? You know, okay, Judas this and that, we want to avoid this, and I was going to nuance it. But then I sat back and I was thinking to myself, I have anecdotally, just within the past 6 months, heard some things, and I'll kind of share a couple of them with you as we go through this, that there is a tremendous dearth or lack of knowledge about judgment. It's not only a dearth, there are a lot of places where you never hear about judgment anymore. You know, I just in a little subtle remark that I make during some homilies, I've had people come up to me afterwards and, you know what, I've never heard hell talked about in a homily before. That is a travesty that you've never heard about hell talked about. Let's get a little history lesson here. 50, 60 years ago, if a little 7-8-year-old child showed up at First Communion class, they would not learn this. It would be presumed that they, as little Catholic children, would know the four last things. I do not want a show of hands, okay? But Father pulls me aside and says, what are the four last things? There are adults who are in their 50s and 60s now who have been cradle Catholics who do not know the four last things. And we need to know the four last things because they are why we are Catholics. They are why you are here right now. Whether you know it or not, that is the reason that you're sitting here. It's because of the four last things, because we all deal with the four last things. We deal with two of them definitively, and one of the others we deal with. The four last things are death, that's a given. Should the Lord tarry, you're dealing with that one. Death, judgment, hell, and heaven. You will deal with death. You will deal with judgment. And what happens at the judgment will determine as to whether you deal with heaven or hell. Those are the four last things. They are essential. An essential truth of your faith. You cannot deal without them. And the reason I sat back and I was like, you know, I've heard these weird things. I don't get it, but it needs to be dealt with. In our current state of affairs, and when I say currently, I don't mean yesterday, last week. I mean currently within the past 50-ish years or so. It started with a pope who said, Pope Paul VI, who said, we don't hear about hell anymore. That is an interesting statement. It is an objectively true statement by the Holy Father. He was concerned very shortly after the Second Vatican Council that we weren't hearing about hell anymore. We weren't hearing about judgment. But the interesting thing about it is that during that time frame, some things like this happened. In the liturgy, in the lectionary, there was a removal of all the imprecatory psalms. Psalms are all the Word of God. There are not some psalms that are good and some that are bad. This is the word of God, but God didn't say those. You must not have. Imprecatory psalms are psalms that call God's curses down upon people. His wrath against those who do evil against his people and against his word and his precepts. Every single one of those psalms and any reference to them were removed from the lectionary. During that time, 22 places. Now, if we read anything, what do we pay attention? The gospel. The good news. The gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 22 different places, there were expunged entire verses from the gospels. Entire verses from the gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ in order to remove from the lectionary and from your hearing references to the last judgment, to the condemnation of this world, and sin. That's current. In the Vatican II documents, all 16 primary documents, hell is never mentioned once, explicitly. Never once. There is one indirect reference to eternal fire. And then we move on. But hell is never mentioned once in any of the documents of the Second Vatican Council. Why? Why is this denial? What is this denial? The denial springs from anthropocentrism, or man-centeredness. Men hate to be called to task. We hate judgment. It has started from the beginning. Genesis, Adam and Eve, two folks, one rule. Guess what? Mess it up. And guess what happened to them because they messed it up? Judgment. Judgment. Like I said, we don't like to be good. And Satan uses that. When he confronted Eve, what did he say to her? Hey, what about that tree over there? Oh, God said we can't eat of that. Or we would die the death. In Hebrew, that's a literal translation. Not just die. Die the death. Emphatic. You will be killed. You will cease to exist if you eat this. And Satan looked at her. Nah. You won't be judged. You'll be like God. You'll know good from evil. And we know the rest of that story. That is our nature. We don't like to be judged. How many teenagers do you know of that will look at it? Don't judge me. We hate it from very early on. Their little tantrums as very little children, the teenage. Don't judge me. One of the most abused and misrepresented scripture texts is, judge not lest ye be judged. Read on. It's talking about judging hypocrisy, not judging according to God's precepts. It stems from our own prideful sinfulness and not wanting to be judged. Hey, church, don't tell me about contraception. Don't tell me about abortion. Those things, I can make those decisions. You just pray nice. Don't tell me about mass attendance. Don't tell me about going to confession once a year. Don't judge me. The same thing will happen to those folks that happened to Adam and Eve. They will be judged because of their rejection of the truths of God. So the denial springs from this man-centeredness that was pervasive in the mid-1960s. I am not going to try to judge motives, but I will say objectively that this happens. This is a consequence. If something vanishes from your teaching, it will, by consequence, vanish from your belief. If you are not taught about judgment and hell, you will not believe in judgment and hell. You don't have to. Nobody taught me that. Look at you up there being all hardcore. I'm going to go down to St. Philip in the Blanks. You never talk about judgment. Okay. If it vanishes from your teaching, it vanishes from your belief. And guess what? There were some very, very faithful fathers at the council. Very faithful fathers who got the council started, for those of you who take notes, on the technical history here. The council started in 1962. In 1964, 2 years into the council, there's a group of bishops who were getting very concerned. The council was broken up into four different sessions between 1962 and 1965, and each session was broken up into different congregations or little meetings that the council fathers would have. And in 1964, the third session, the 80th congregation, a group of bishops were very, very concerned because they sat back and said, you know what? We have been here for 2 years in a council of the Catholic Church, and we have talked about this and that and this and that, and we pronounced this and proclaimed that, and we have not heard one time about hell. And these faithful fathers got together, and they put together what's called an intervention. And an intervention is when one of the fathers will get up and represent a group and say, hey, this needs to be changed, or what we talked about, I disagree with this. I mean, it's very, very formal. And they put together an intervention, and it was presented by the Archbishop, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Archbishop Gori. And Archbishop Gori got up as a prince of the church, and he said, you know, he gave a spiel about, this is problematic that we haven't heard anything about the four last things, particularly hell and judgment. And he gave three reasons why it is absolutely necessary to know about hell and judgment. I quote the first. Hell is an undisputed truth of Christian revelation. Our Lord Jesus Christ said he consecrated himself to the truth, and we must be consecrated to the truth. And what the Father said, the existence of hell is an undisputed truth of the Christian revelation, is undeniable. Absolutely undeniable. It is in Scripture from cover to cover. Starts in Genesis, as I said before. It's not an Old Testament angry God thing. Okay? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, kindness itself in person, speaks about judgment in hell. He talks more about hell, two-thirds statistically, more times than he mentioned heaven. When he speaks about heaven, it's really cursory, and when he talks about hell, he is very detailed. And he makes such statements like we read today in the gospel message, that none of my apostles has been lost, but the son of perdition, the son of destruction, speaking of Judas. And he also says in another place that it would be better for Judas had he not been born. There is no place in heaven, folks. No place in heaven where you would think that you ought not have been born. So what if our Lord Jesus saying about the final destination of Judas Iscariot? It would be better had he not been born. This is emanating from kindness in person, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother of Grace, our Mother of Perpetual Help at Fatima, in 1917, she appears to the three young seers, three children. And in her appearance, the first thing she shows them is a vision of hell. A vision of hell that the only one who lived past childhood, who lived to a ripe old age, Blessed Lucia said, if that vision had gone on for one more moment, we would have died. That is how horrendous hell is. To even see a vision of it makes you think you will die if it does not stop. It is in our creed. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. It is in the canon of the Mass that we bid us be delivered from eternal damnation. Not bid others who are outside the church be saved from it. Bid us be delivered from eternal damnation. Giving us an inclination and an understanding that if we don't live according to the precepts of faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal damnation awaits us in the church. It is the undisputed truth of our faith. The second thing the Father says, another reason, this kind of goes on the heels of what I said about what our Blessed Mother showed the seers at Fatima, that the importance of this horrendous possibility for every human being must be known. You have to be warned that that's there. Because if you're not warned, you're not scared of it. It would be like having a child that didn't know anything about the street and go ahead and go cross I-4. If you don't know it's dangerous, you'll do it. And guess what will happen? This horrendous truth needs to be taught. Because it is horrendous. And horrendous is a gross understatement for how horrible it is. The third thing that he says, and I don't normally quote this law, but it bears because he's a prince of the church, the Latin patriarch of Jerusalem, and he was prophetic. The Holy Spirit resting upon him at the Second Vatican Council, and he said this, and I quote, "The special need of our time, because in our time, the desire prevalent everywhere for a better material life and rampant hedonism greatly diminish in the eyes of many people the value of divine friendship and the sense of sin. A consequence of this is the fact that the existence of hell, of eternal unhappiness, is foreign to their thinking. It is commonly rejected as an inappropriate consideration and is even increasingly fought against as something contrary to the modern mindset. As many sorrowfully notice, quite a few preachers today no longer dare to mention these terrible truths and remain silent about them. But as a result of the fears of the preachers, it is to be feared that among the faithful, a practical conviction will prevail that this punishment is now obsolete doctrine, the reality of which they have right to doubt. And in this way, the corruption of minds and morals is promoted." The corruption of minds and morals is promoted. Folks, look around you. That is why Catholic women kill their babies as much as pagan women statistically. That is why Catholics divorce their spouses some places at a higher statistical rate than the pagans do. He was prophetic. He was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. And he was absolutely correct. Look around us. Preachers no longer dare to mention these terrible truths and remain silent about them? It's worse than that. Two of the things that I've heard in the past 6 months, two completely different scenarios, two completely different priests, one in a different country, someone to these priests brought up hell, and both of them got this response. "You don't really believe in that anymore, do you?" From Catholic priests. "You don't believe in that anymore, do you?" That is demonic. That is demonic. There was a priest discipline in Europe for bringing up the subject of hell to a middle school class. He was formally disciplined by his bishop for proclaiming the truth of the Catholic faith to young ones. I'll tell you what, folks, and you're hearing it here, you are in mortal sin if you do not share hell with your children. You must. Because you're not warning them if you don't. And you are putting them on the broad road that leads to destruction. Satan loves that. You know, Satan is probably kind of leery about people who we look, "Oh, that guy's demonic over there. That guy's not in the church and he steals cars and he sells dope and he robs people. He must be demonic." You know what? Satan kind of leery about those kind of guys because you know what? They still have a conscience. As dull as it may be. Now, I was a cop for 28 years. I know. They know what they're doing is wrong. They just don't care. And when you know what you're doing is wrong and you just reject it, guess what? For some of them, very few, but some of them, they'll reach a point in life and go, "You know what? I've really been a bad person. I should really change." Satan's got to worry about that. You know what he doesn't have to worry about, and he belly laughs about it, is churches that are full of people who don't believe in hell. I'm going to tell you this right now, folks, and I mean this in all sincerity. If you don't believe in hell, you can get up right now and leave, because there's no reason for you to be here. Absolutely no reason. Guess what? If there's not a hell and there's not judgment, you don't need a savior. You don't need a savior. That's for nothing. So what? He hung on a cross. There's no hell. Big deal. I don't have to worry about it. It's a myth. Right? You sound kind of silly, really, if you sit in here and talk about, there's two different types in our mouth. You go, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Repeat it. If there's no hell and no judgment, who cares? It's ridiculous. Have mercy on me for what? It's silly. Your faith is silliness without judgment and hell. It is an essential matter of your faith. We love the divine mercy. Sister Faustina is great. Love the divine mercy. Love the picture. The divine mercy, Sister Faustina says, it's fathomless mercy. She can't emphasize that enough, how fathomless the mercy is. She is absolutely correct. His mercy is fathomless because there's another side of the coin. So is his divine justice. We need his fathomless mercy because his justice is fathomless. Hell is deep. And that's why we relish in the divine mercy so gloriously, because he is protecting us from that. If we live in a life that is in conformity with his precepts, in faith and obedience, I will leave you with this thought. Nobody's ever told it. Yeah, that's a given. I hear that all the time. Guess what? If you're a Catholic, you have to believe this, that hell is an everlasting perdition or destruction for those who die in a state of mortal sin without having repented and having refused God's merciful love. That is a necessary, essential truth of your faith. And its essential reason for this punishment talk is not because he's some kind of ogre God, but it is because the vindication of his justice. He is a just and at the same time a merciful God. He just asks you to respond in time and to know his truths. We need to let these words at the end of the gospel apply to us, because hell and judgment is an essential truth of your faith. And when our Lord Jesus Christ says, and for their sake I consecrated myself, and that they may also be consecrated to the truth. The four last things are an essential truth of your faith. Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. They are the truths of your faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.